You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, it is bitter cold here, and it's snowing. It began snowing about 30 minutes ago, and according to the weather, should be snowing all night and part of tomorrow. We shall see. This part of the world, the weather report is not always right. I want to let you all know that we have received, so far, a total of $2,625 in donations for the television fund. In addition, we have received 2 1-ounce gold coins and about 3 1/10-ounce gold coins as donations. I do not as yet know the value of those coins, but I would imagine that it will increase the donations by a little more than another $1,000. Maybe $1,100, $1,200, somewhere around there. So actually, including the gold coins, and I'm just estimating because I repeat, I do not really know the value of those coins, we probably have around $3,700 in donations. Now, you see, folks, what we can do when you all get off your proverbial rear ends and begin to help. And there are a lot of you listening who have still donated nothing. Nothing. And we need your donation. So please, get busy. Get it in the mail. We can make this work, ladies and gentlemen. We really can. But we can't do it without your help. Now, we're making a lot of sacrifices around here. We're selling a lot of things that we really don't want to sell to try to make this work. And those of you who have visited the website have seen our little for sale sign on the homepage. My pride and joy. Two things that I've wanted all my life, saved for many, many, many years. Finally was able to purchase them and have been very slowly and surely restoring them over the last several years. Well, this nation is more important to me than any kind of material possession. And so they're up for sale. It's a 1958 Chevrolet and a 1957 Imperial Southampton Royal Crown Coupe, which is as rare as hen's teeth. Took me many, many years to save to buy those two automobiles, and many more years to restore them to the condition in which they are today. They're beautiful cars, just beautiful. They're in all original condition. They both run and drive and work, and they still have more restoration to be done. These are my babies. But in an attempt to save freedom, liberty and freedom for all of us, I put them up for sale. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's my question for you tonight. Now, I don't mean that you have to call in and tell me what you're doing. That's not what I mean at all. But we are going to open the phones for a while, and then I have a surprise for you later in this broadcast. And I think you'll all like it. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open the phones and talk about whatever it is that's on your mind, your particular mind tonight. The number is 520-333-4578. And later in the broadcast, you're going to get a surprise. And I think you'll all like it quite a bit. In the meantime, the phones are open. Right now, the phones are open. And I understand there's quite a bit of bad weather all over the place. And so I've chosen to do this rather than try to, except for the surprise later, try to put out a lot of information this evening that won't be heard by a lot of people who are under the cover of nature, so to speak. Nature has a way of seriously impeding the ability of the listeners to receive a shortwave signal. So the phones are open, 520-333-4578. We'll talk about whatever it is that's on your mind tonight. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night we're going to run a tape of Dr. Wallach's that you have not heard. It'll be something new for all of you, and I think you're all going to like it. It was actually sent to my daughter by Mrs. Wallach, who is also a doctor, by the way, was a surgeon, as a matter of fact. And she knows about this fight. She knows very well the price of liberty and freedom. You see, she was a medical doctor, a surgeon in communist China. And she was persecuted because of her intelligence and because she objected to the communist regime. She was imprisoned. There was an attempt to brainwash her and what they call re-educate her for a long, long time, and eventually she managed to escape from communist China. She met and fell in love with Dr. Joel Wallach, and the rest is history, ladies and gentlemen. So thought I'd just give you that little background. She sent this tape to my daughter, the one that you're going to hear tomorrow night, and my daughter is going to play it on her broadcast on Saturday morning. I'm going to play it for all of you on the hour of the time tomorrow night. Once again, the phones are open. We're going to take your calls tonight, 520-333-4578 is the number. And we'll talk about whatever it is that may happen to be on your mind this evening. 520-333-4578. And in the meantime, let me see what I can pick out here to tickle your ears with some music. Oh, yes. Here we go. I think you might like this. Some of you may even recognize it. I don't know for sure. Maybe. It's by U2. You've all heard of U2, I take it. And let me get there. Okay, sit back, relax, and we'll play some music until we get our first call. Fooled you. How's that for a little diversion? Here comes the U2 recording that I had intended to play. Don't believe in death, bro. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Betty from North Carolina.
Hi, Betty. Can you talk a little louder, please?
Yes, I will certainly try to talk a little louder. I'm interested in this Executive Order 13-107 dealing with treaties, particularly the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am. What good would it do?
Well, I don't know that it would change anything, but if people aren't even appraised of what they're losing, you know, I don't know that it could be changed, but I would certainly like people to be informed on the significance of it.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I think that if the Bill of Rights is important and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which includes treaties on social and economic, that don't pass the legislature, and yet the president can simply say, we bypass the legislature and we implement these, this value system because I say so through an executive order, that really is hitting, I think, right at the heart of everybody's liberty.
Can he do that?
Did he do that?
No, I said, can he do that?
Constitutional, but it's very practical, and it has been done. It's already, you know, legal, not legitimate, but certainly legal.
Well, it's not even legal. Whatever is unlawful is certainly not legal, is it?
I think there are a lot of things that are legal that are not legitimate.
If the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, anything that contradicts it or subverts it is unlawful. And is therefore criminal. Is that correct?
Yes, I can see that.
Okay, let me ask you again. Can he do that?
He may.
The answer is not lawfully.
That's right.
The answer is if he's a subversive, criminal, treasonous, socialist, communist, puke-faced subversive who is out to destroy this country, he can appoint himself king, and he can dictate whatever he wants, can't he?
I agree.
But whose fault is it if he gets away with it?
Well, I think there are so few people who know. I know I didn't know until after it had gone, it had passed the 30 days.
Ma'am, I've been telling people things that are probably millions of times worse than what he has just done could ever be, and they have done nothing. Ma'am, what I just said was not a personal attack against you.
No,
It was exactly what I said.
I agree with what you're saying also.
The government has been subverted.
I agree totally.
The federal government in Washington, D.C. is not the constitutional, lawful government as put in place by the Founding Fathers. It is, in fact, a subversive, treasonous government. which is in the throes of beginning stages of total despotism.
Yeah.
It may be now called, without any doubt whatsoever, a tyranny.
Yep. I agree with you totally.
Now, if the Americans know this, the American people know this, and if we have outlined for them for years and given them the official government documentation, sourced it, thrown it out for them, put it in their lap, and they are still willing to accept it, whose fault is it?
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
But you didn't answer my question. Whose fault is it?
It's each one of our faults.
It's the fault of the American people, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think the American people are on the verge of getting exactly what they deserve because of it. We are a nation of cowards. And cowards always come under the blows of the bully. They always have their lunch money stolen. Right?
Right.
Well, welcome to the playground.
Well, God bless everyone. Your household.
Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for calling.
Thank
and I understand your concern, and I hope you don't take anything I said personally.
Not a bit.
I'm talking about these vast herds of sheeple out there, and unfortunately, because of their cowardice, we're all going to end up in a very terrible war here pretty soon in order to protect our liberties and freedoms and restore a constitutional Republican government.
I agree. Yep.
So it's not going to do any good to get on the air and tell them about the latest executive order that bypasses the Constitution, in fact, just throws it in the trash, and says, in short, that we are now going to honor all United Nations treaties, the Senate ratification be damned.
That's right. And if they want to take us out of the country to try us, that's fine.
I don't understand what you just said.
I say if they choose to try us in another country, that would be part of the UN law.
Well, that may be part of the UN law, but they'll never do that with me. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Kind of disturbs you, doesn't it, to hear talk like that? You see, most people wouldn't dare tell you that because they'd be afraid that you wouldn't like them. Me, I'd rather be free than have anybody ever like me, to tell you the truth. And so the only thing that you ever get on the hour of the time is the truth. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. Doesn't matter who it insults or who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yeah, how am I coming in?
Pretty good.
This is Dave in Florida.
Hi, Dave.
I just sent you the union newspaper. Now all the maritime unions have merged into one. And the railway workers have merged into one.
Sure.
And I outlined it for you, you know, and made a few caustic comments and jokes to give you a laugh there. I threw some bumper stickers in. You know how I dislike Florida? You mentioned the other night that all these Shriner Masons that, you know, I live in the Capital District.
Uh-huh.
Near Tallahassee, and all they do is rip me off. So, those stickers, welcome to Florida, leave it, and go back home soon. Whenever you see a sticker, a car with Florida plates with Wakulla County or Leon County, would you stick it on the back of it? That way the guys will come out of the bar room and punch the rebel out.
Well, I don't think we ever see much of those cars around here.
Oh, too bad.
In fact, I can't ever remember seeing a Florida license plate in this town.
Doesn't
mean there haven't been any. Well, I don't know why they'd be afraid. It's just off the beaten track. This is not a place where too many people even know about, much less come.
Yeah, sounds like a good place to live. Well, I don't want to burn up too much ad time on your ham station there. What, you got 50,000 watts?
No, I don't have any watts. I have a telephone line.
Oh, yeah, but it's going out of Maine.
It's going out of Maine. It's not a ham station. It's a shortwave radio station.
Dave, I use 8 watts. Hey, if you get a chance. have our fine president there. Could you play Devil with the Blue Dress On?
I don't know if I have that.
That would be a nice song because John Dillinger, he was betrayed by a woman with a red dress on.
Yes, he was.
And I feel they're both in the same class. So, well, God bless you, Bill. And it's a good show tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Our friend Dave from Florida, who is a merchant marine seaman, I guess. He's never told us what his rating is. And in the seagoing trades, there are several. There's the black gang and the bridge gang and the deck gang and all of these kinds of things. There's the stewards and the mates, etc., etc., etc. Maybe next time he calls, he'll let us know. Might be interesting. Personally, I get a feeling he's part of the deck gang. 520-333-4578, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong, and if I am, please excuse me, Dave. I just get that feeling from my Navy experience and from listening to you talk. And I also get the feeling you may be retired now, and you may have told me that. I'm not sure. We are now getting orders for the book, Let's Play Doctor, by Dr. Joel Wallach. And his wife, May Lan. And I forgot to tell you that. It's not Joel Wallach is not the sole author of this book. His wife is co-author. And they're both doctors. And this is an incredible book. We're now getting orders for it. And it's, well, I'm still reading it. It is just incredible. Really incredible. And remember, folks, we only have a limited quantity. I think we started out with either 46 or 48. And Tim and I both took a copy, so that reduced it by two. And I think we've had maybe about between 6 and 10 orders. I'll make that cover. I'll cover that between 6 and 10 because I'm not exactly sure, but I know we've received at least 6 and may have received as many as 10 in just a couple of days. So if this continues, we will be out of these books very quickly. And I don't know when we'll get any new ones in. Tell you the truth, I really don't. So if you want one, make sure that you order one right now. They're $16.95 postpaid. And if you want to order one, send a blank money order or cash as a donation to The Hour of the Time in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's The Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Now, folks, I trust you know that when the Clintons took over the White House, the first androgynous presidency, Janet Reno was appointed Attorney General of the United States, and she immediately fired, listen to me very carefully, she immediately fired all federal prosecutors, all United States attorneys is what they're called. She fired them. All over the country, fired them all. And then they reappointed to those positions, or not reappointed, I guess some of them may have been reappointed, but most of them were new appointees, all of them, were Marxists, Leninists, socialists, all across this country. And just recently, a major expose has emerged proving that these people are the most unlawful, criminal, despicable creeps that you can imagine. They have been framing people, withholding evidence that would have proven people that they convicted to be innocent. They have sent literally thousands of people to prison who are innocent simply because of their political viewpoint. And we're going to be doing a lot of exposing on that on this broadcast here pretty soon. In the state of Arizona, the United States Attorney used to be Janet Napolitano, a Clinton appointee, a well-known Marxist-Leninist. She ran for the state of Arizona Attorney General position and was recently elected as the Attorney General for the state of Arizona. So guess what that's probably going to bring about. Now, if it can happen in Arizona, which is still, ladies and gentlemen, a little part of the old Wild West, and where there is a tremendous patriotism and a lot of militia activity, and where most people are staunch conservatives, whatever that may mean, that's what they call themselves. But what it really means in Arizona is that they really truly subscribe to the principles and ideals upon which this country was based. They believe in the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, and would defend it with their lives if necessary. If a Marxist-Leninist like Janet Napolitano can be elected as the Attorney General of the state of Arizona, you better watch out wherever you live. It's happening all over this country. They are truly taking over. And I'm not quite sure how that's happening, but it is happening. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
Dave, calling from West Virginia.
Hi, Dave.
I heard you talking last night. Barely. Reception's not all that good here.
Uh-huh.
But you were talking about a Bill English.
Yes.
I just finished reading a book by David Icke.
Uh-huh.
And he says that this gentleman supposedly authored a report called the Memorandum.
I have no idea about that.
Okay. Well, anyway, it said, I recall that he was supposed to be a Green Beret.
He claims that he was a Green Beret member of United States Army Special Forces. He claimed that he was a member of Army Intelligence, that he was a captain, that he served in Vietnam, that he was also an information analyst for the National Security Agency. Well, we did a background check on this man, and we found out that just according to the United States Army and the National Security Agency, it's not true.
Okay, well,
that's what that was all about. We ran a story on it. And,
did I hear you correct that last night you mentioned that someone had called you and said that a person was involved in an accident and someone took his briefcase?
Yeah.
But the man you're talking about could be an imposter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I don't know if that's true. It was a woman. Her last name was English. I know her first name, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want her to be bothered by millions of people. She claimed that her husband, a United States Army captain named William S. English, was in an automobile accident in Phoenix, and one of the first people on the scene was a motorcycle rider who she says fits the description of the person now calling himself William S. English, claiming to have been a Special Forces captain in the United States Army. And she believes that this person stole her husband's briefcase from that automobile after the wreck.
Okay. Now I'm getting this story clear. All right. Are you familiar with David Icke?
I know who he is. I don't know him personally.
Okay. Well, I mean, he just... I heard him one night on the Art Bell show. This was about...
That just knocks him down about 40 notches in my book. Just the fact that he would appear on the Art Bell show.
I'm about your age, Bill, and I have a little nighttime problem. You know what I mean? Getting up frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Oh, I can understand why people would listen to Art Bell for entertainment.
I'm not trying to. I'm somebody while I'm listening to Art Bell. I put him on there because it puts me right back to sleep.
Oh, okay.
You know, most of his program is involved with this UFO, what you call ufology.
Yeah.
Business.
Uh-huh.
Well, this one particular night, I was stunned when I listened to this broadcast, and this fellow, Ike, was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the things he was talking about, I said, holy smokes, how could this guy be talking about this on an AM broadcast? You know, usually I listen to that on the FM, I mean on the shortwave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'm going to send for this guy's book, which I did, and I enjoyed reading it. Of course, I passed it on to a friend to read, but I thought I went right through it. I thought it was a tremendous book from the things that it reveals in there about what's going on in the world.
Uh-huh.
So I enjoyed it for that reason. But I do recall the part about the Bill English.
Yeah.
And personally, I really... the whole UFO thing bores me.
It's all a fraud.
That's what I'm saying. I have no interest in it, and so I don't even hardly listen to it.
Well, I'm interested in it, and so should you be. So should everybody be, because the deception, if successful, would be the quickest route into a one-world totalitarian government.
Well, I can understand all that, and I have no doubt that they may try to pull something off. I've heard all these mysterious sightings, these green or blue balls or something, a fire, and all this stuff could actually be based on that Tesla technology.
Yeah.
It's frightening to contemplate some of these things they may have in store, because you know it's going to hurt people.
Sure, sure it is.
So that's.
But people who have coveted power have always hurt people.
Sure, and they're they talk about these stones down in Elberton, Georgia, the guide stones.
Yeah, we did a show on that.
Uh huh. Hey, but one thing I want to ask you, Bill. Do you I listened to you couple years ago, and then I lost you after you went off on WWCR, and it was just before Christmas that I was talking to a friend, and I said, whatever happened to Bill Cooper? And he says, oh, didn't you hear he's back on shortwave? And I said, well, what's his number? And he told me what it was, and I put it in. The first time I heard you recently was right before Christmas. The night before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I've been trying to catch you just about every night, but the reception is not all that good. I understand the transmitter now is coming out of northern Maine.
Yes, but it really is good if you have a good antenna.
Okay.
For instance, we get it really loud and clear here in Arizona, but we have a long wire antenna.
Okay, I'm going to have to get hooked up with something like that. I just have a good small shortwave radio, but no external antenna.
Yeah, which shortwave is different from any other kind of radio. You can have a $50 shortwave radio or a $10,000 shortwave radio, and you'll get the same reception without a good antenna. So it's not really the radio, although that helps. The primary piece of equipment in the shortwave listening system is the antenna. Always has been, always will be. We have antennas right here. We got them, and we made them up simply for all those of you who need one and don't have one, and we even made up directions on how to put it up and everything. It costs $24.95, and if you'll send us a blank... $24.95. If you'll send us a blank money order or cash, we'll get it right out to you.
Okay. All right. That's about well. The only other thing I wanted to mention was the states that you used to have available was called the Mystery Babylon series.
Yeah, stay tuned tonight. I got a surprise for you a little later.
Oh, great. Okay, I'll try to listen. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. That was an interesting phone call. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we'll be taking your calls until a little bit later in the broadcast when I've got a real surprise for all of you. And I think you might like it. In the meantime, especially for the listening audience of the Hour of the Time, you all know that a subscription to Veritas is $55 for 12 issues, and I believe it's $30 for 6 issues. for the listening audience of the hour of the time only. And when you send in your subscription, you must tell me the date that you heard me say this on the radio to prove that you are indeed a listener. For the listeners of the hour of the time, you may now subscribe to Veritas, $35 for 12 issues. That's $20 off the price to everyone else. $35 for 12 issues, or $20 for 6 issues, which is $10 off the price for everyone else. So if you've always wanted to subscribe to Veritas and you just didn't feel that you had enough money, for the listeners of the hour of the time only, and when you send in your request for a subscription along with your payment, and remember, we only take blank money orders, cash, gold or silver coin, that's it, nothing else, no checks, no filled out money orders. If you fill it out, we'll send it back to you. And you keep your receipt, and that's your proof of payment. Okay? For the listeners of the hour of the time only, and remember, you must include the date of the broadcast where you heard me say this. You can now subscribe to 12 issues of Veritas for $35. That's $20 off the normal subscription price. Or 6 issues for $25. I'm sorry. 6 issues for $25. And am I saying this right? It's 6 issues for $20. I'm sorry. It's 12 issues for $35, 6 issues for $20, and the 12 issue price of $35 is $20 less than the normal price for everybody else, and the 6 issue price of $20 is $10 less than the normal price for everybody else. So if you've always wanted to subscribe to Veritas and didn't feel that you could afford it, if you're a listener to the hour of the time, you can now do that. So get it in right now, because this offer is not going to stay valid for very long. The number once again is 520-333-4578. And for those of you waiting for your next issue of Veritas, it will be mailed this Monday. Will be in the mail this Monday, the 18th of January. And that's issue number 20. Issue number 21 is almost full and should be coming out not too long after that. And we're going to try to speed them up quite a bit, as a matter of fact, if we can. Okay. The number once again is 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. I was wondering what the intelligence services, if anything, has found out about the school shootings. I know you mentioned it in Majesty 12, and I just heard rumors, and I've never been able to find any information on some of the events that happened in Jonesboro, Arkansas, that like the weeks of the shooting. Do you have any information on that?
Well, we've got quite a bit of information, but we're not really ready to release it. Suffice it to say, though, that what I wrote in my book years ago, remember I predicted all of these things would happen? In my book, Behold a Pale Horse, I said they would happen.
Yeah. I read your book about in 92. So.
All of the shooters would either be current or ex-mental patients who would be on drugs, and in particular I named a drug called Prozac.
Okay.
I wrote that book back in the 80s. And it has...
I don't get to catch your show every night. I was just wondering if y'all had done anything on that. So maybe in the future we'll hear something about it.
No, we're going to publish a major article in Veritas, probably a headline article, about all of those things.
Okay, because there was you maybe even heard about this document. Are you familiar with a radio show host named Joel Vincent?
No.
Okay, well, he has a syndicated show. I'm not sure where he comes from, what he's associated with, but he has a call-in show. Every once in a while, there's some good information, like Michelle Moore's been on there before.
Uh-huh.
And Lynn Meredith was on there one time.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I called the show and told her about your situation. She didn't know about what was going on with you and your family. But anyway, the show course, has a lot of, you know, he lets people call in basically and say anything. So, you know, you got to dig, verify things. Anyway, he read a letter on there one time. He said this letter was sent to him, and the person writing it told him to read it as fiction. And basically, it sounded like someone who knew a lot about mind control. I mean, I don't know if this was fact or fiction, but it was very interesting because it talked about Jonesboro, Arkansas, and about supposedly this person who wrote the letter knew something about people being there and some manipulation going on with some of the young men involved in that shooting. But I was just wondering if y'all had verified anything, but apparently...
I've never heard that letter. How could I verify it?
Okay, well, I wrote a letter asking him to give me a copy, and I've never heard from him. I'm going to try to call him again and try to get... He said that if anybody wanted a copy, he would send them a copy. So if I get a copy, I'll...
Well, put him on the spot. Call him on the air and remind him of what he said. Tell him that you have sent for a copy and you still have not received it. What gives?
I think I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay.
And if I get a copy, I'll mail the copy with the you know, with a note about.
Yeah. Don't be rude or mean, because somebody else at the radio station might have gotten the letter and he may have never seen it.
Yeah. Well, actually, I called him one time and did remind him, but it's been a while. I just had that time to listen to the show again.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
But I sure will. One more thing I want to tell you. I rented a video this weekend, a 3-hour documentary called UFOs, The Best Evidence.
George,
familiar with that one?
George Knapp, yes. Good friend of John Olson Lear, a Freemason.
Mm-hmm. It's got all your cast of characters from your book.
Yeah.
Like William Moore.
Oh, yes. And guess who they beat up in that film?
Is it you?
Yeah.
Well, they don't mention your name.
Well, they don't. Then that means they took it out. I must have embarrassed the hell out of them.
Oh, really?
They must have taken it.
They mentioned some that there's some kind of a story about how William Moore was involved in a disinformation campaign.
William Moore was a government agent from the beginning, and he finally admitted it. All of them are. All of them. Every one of them.
You know, they talking about you when they say he was involved in this disinformation campaign?
Oh, what did I just? I just told you that they spent half the video attacking me. You said no, they didn't mention my name. Now you say they did. Which is it?
No. They did not mention your name. But they mentioned a UFO researcher. But they never mentioned the UFO researcher's name, and I assumed it was you.
Well, it couldn't be me because I've never been a UFO researcher.
Okay, well,
those are called ufologists. Or, excuse me, ufologist.
but you're saying that in an earlier version of this film, they did mention your name?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, they've taken it all out.
Just really attacked me with full force. And
apparently, this is a new packaging, but the video looks like it was shot in the early 90s or something.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
But they had no choice but to take it out because it was all libel and slander.
Right, okay. Well, it's a joke. I mean, it's really good entertainment to watch this video.
Yeah, well, you can pick up any UFO video, except for ones that are truthful and are just showing, you know, truthful information and interviewing people. But this one certainly is not. Most of them are not. Most of them are just the most incredible BS trips that you'll ever go on. They're interesting and they're funny and sometimes they're entertaining and if you didn't know better, they could really scare the hell out of you.
But yeah, that's what this one's designed to do.
That's what they're all designed to do: to create an external threat to the Earth so that they can have world government. Allah, who speaks for planet Earth? Argentina?
That sounds like Stanton T. Friedman.
That is exactly Stanton T. Friedman's line. That's how he closes every lecture he ever gives, and then he calls for everybody to participate in bringing about a world government so that we can join the Planetary Federation.
Yeah, I've heard him say that on Chuck Carter's show.
Yeah.
You know, one time somebody called up and asked him about William Cooper in his book, The Old Appel Horse, and Stanton T. Friedman immediately said, that book was anti-Semitic because of the protocols of Zion.
Well, if you read the book, you know that that's not true.
Yeah, I know that's not true.
Stanton T. Friedman lied. He has lied on many occasions. I think he makes an occupation of lying.
Yeah. Is your video, Project Red Light, still available?
No, the masters on those videos wore out long, long, long ago. I wish it was, because it really shows you better than anybody else has ever done what's going on at Groom Lake.
Well, if there was some way, I just really wish I could see that. When I started listening to you, I ordered your video about Kennedy, the Sacrifice King.
Uh-huh.
And that was my next one to order from you. And I remember you saying it was no longer available because of the masters, but
yeah, the masters just wore out, and you know, they'll still produce a picture, but it's not a picture that I would ever give or sell to anybody.
Right. Well, maybe I'll run into somebody one day who has that video.
You may do that.
But Bill, I'll let you go, and I just wanted to tell you, your book a long time ago was like something that just, I'd say you changed my life, basically.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, you made me look at the world in a totally different way. It made me really start to read again. I just lost interest in reading. I mean, there was just fluff around. And it, you know, just made me figure out what I wanted to do in life, really.
Well, good.
And you never cease to amaze me.
Well, sometimes I never cease to amaze myself. And I'm not bragging there. You know, sometimes I really pull some boners. And I can remember one memorable night when I was talking about the life of Thomas Jefferson. And every time that I went to say Thomas Jefferson, I said Benjamin Franklin. And I have studied the lives of these two men for years and years and years, and it is just beyond my understanding of how I could have ever done that. But I did it.
Well, so, you're human.
Well, yeah. And that's why I keep telling people. They don't want to believe it.
Hey, well, I know you're human, but your sense of humor is what I really like. So keep your sense of humor. And keep it up, and I'm going to be sending some more of that information, Dr. Wallach's information.
Great. You'll
got my little packet today.
That will make you a new person. If you've got any kind of problems like I had, you're going to really be thankful that you did.
Well, it really sounds like some good information. I'm going to try it out, and once again, if I wasn't listening to your show, I would have never heard of Dr. Wallach, I don't believe.
Well, that's good.
All right. Well, thanks, Bill. I'll let you go.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Oh, yeah. And folks, don't remember. You just can't start taking this stuff for a week or two or a month. If you've got some serious problems, it's going to take, like Dr. Wallach said, at least 90 days. If you've got some serious problems, to begin to really correct those problems. And if you're lucky, like I was, you'll begin to see results within a couple of weeks. But remember, if you've got serious problems, you're going to have to stick with his recommended dosage for at least 90 days before you're going to see some results. If you've got, but you will see immediate results with some problems like diabetes, low blood sugar, really tired all the time. If you have leg pains like I did, you may begin to see results in about 2 weeks, and that pain will go away within about 30 days completely. If you're like me, you know, I can't guarantee what's going to happen to you, because every person is different, and every person's physical health is peculiarly representative of just that particular person. All of our body chemistry is different, and everything, depending upon where you live, is going to depend upon what minerals you may be deficient in. All of us. Let me tell you this, folks. Every single one of us are deficient in most of the minerals that our body needs just to live from day to day. It's a wonder, to tell you the truth, that we're not all dead. This is, you know, it's really scary when you find out that the government has known about the depletion of the minerals from our soil since 1936. And hasn't said a word about it to the American people. Instead, the government, the FDA, and medical doctors tell us that we don't need vitamin and mineral supplements, knowing full well, every one of them, that we do. That's criminal. But it goes right along with the government's policy on reduced population. Population control, they call it. There's a whole chapter in my book about that. 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm waiting patiently for your call. So let's hear it. Where are you? And I'll go back down here and play some music until we get our next call. Don't go away. As soon as that phone rings, we'll be right back. Found one thing we were looking for, folks. Here's the cable guy.
What's going on?
What have you been doing, Doyle?
Working in the snow because of a thief.
He stole all the stuff off the side of the building right here.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I'll tell you, since I've been around Doyle, since he went to work here as the cable guy, oh boy, have I learned some things. The life of a cable guy is not the best. It's hard work. And what he has to put up with from, what would you call him, Doyle?
I don't know.
We better not say. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
I'm enjoying your shortwave program.
Thank you.
I missed you for about 2 years.
Can you talk a little louder, please?
You had switched over to another station.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to you recently, kind of catching up, you know, with everything, especially with the current events,
mm-hmm.
such as the, you know, the Clinton presidency and the corruption and the Y2K and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I call it the Clinton regime.
And,
actually, it's the Clintonista regime. Socialists are in control of the government.
Well, what do you think about the outcome of this trial? Any insight to what's going to happen this coming week?
Absolutely nothing is happening according to any concept of intelligence or reason. And when things get out of kilter to that extent, I lose the ability to make accurate predictions.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
And so I can't make a prediction on it. I don't know. And we're all just going to have to wait and find out. I think we're all going to be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, whatever the outcome, we're going to be surprised.
Well, I hope it's not Al Gore or President Al Gore.
Well, he would be a lot worse than Clinton, I can assure you.
I can understand. You had mentioned his Al Gore's book that was released several years ago. I never read it, but my local library has it. I may go over there and check it out.
Okay.
And your turkey recipe sounds good.
Oh, it is good. You don't even have to do anything with it. I mean, once you put it in the oven, you close that door, you don't have to baste it or do a thing for 12 hours. All you got to do is come back in 12 hours and open the door, and it's done. It's the most beautiful turkey you ever saw in your life.
Well, I'm already familiar with that
Yeah, and that makes, by the way, when you slow cook anything, it makes it the most delicious, juiciest, tenderest meat that you've ever tasted.
Yeah, that's also good with the roast beef, too.
Yeah, any kind of meat. The slower you cook it, the better it's going to be.
Yes, sir, sure is. And you had mentioned a surprise early in the broadcast. Did you do that okay? Did you do that already?
Not yet. It's coming up in maybe about 3 or 4 minutes. Well, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. On this snowy night in Arizona. Oh, what's going on down here? I keep hearing music in the background. I know what it is. I turned down the pot on the CD player, but it was still going. Okay, we still got time for a couple of more calls. 520-333-4578 is the number. And then after I do the station ID at the top of the hour, you're going to have a little surprise, and I hope you like it. I think that many of you will. In fact, I've had requests to do this from many of you, and that's one of the reasons we're doing it. 520-333-4578 is the number to call, and if you have not called for your information packet on Dr. Wallach and what he can recommend on how you can improve your own personal health, call 1-888-403-2405. That's 1-888-403-2405. Once you get it, if you have any questions at all about what you receive in that information packet, call me personally at this number, 520-333-4578, between 12 noon and 4 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Now, please adjust for the time, folks, because if you're calling between 12 and 4 your time, and your time is not mountain time, I may not want to talk to you because I'm busy doing other things during those other hours. I've set aside 4 hours every afternoon, Monday through Friday, just to be able to take your calls and answer your questions and help you out any way that I can. So please stick to that time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Oh, I need you to talk a lot louder. I can't even hardly hear you.
Okay. Is that any better?
That's much better.
Okay. See, when you were talking...
Now, wait a minute. You said, is that any better? Then you went right back down to your old level. Get it up there and keep it up.
All right.
That's better.
Hey, you were talking a little bit about men that have been stripped of their rights as fathers.
Yes.
Do you care to elaborate a little bit more on that? That was kind of interesting. That those are the same lines that I was thinking of myself, but I guess I'm willing to go to jail if that's what they want to do. But I agreed with that, but I'll hang up the phone. I'm having problems.
Okay.
Here and listen and see what, if you care to comment on that a little bit.
Well, I'll make a short comment because we've got to go into our surprise, but yeah, that's a good subject. One night we'll do a show just for fathers who have lost their children. Yeah. Well, I'm one of them, and it really has hurt me over the years. I think it's hurt my children, and I think these women who use children as weapons in divorces or when you split up are just the most despicable beasts that have ever lived.
Well, that's exactly what they do, and they use them for a tool for as long as you live, and it only hurts the children.
Oh, it destroys the children, and it certainly hurts the father, and it doesn't do much good for the mother either.
Well, they find that out much later on.
Yeah. Listen, I got to let you go because we're into our surprise hour.
Thank you.
In fact, that little added talk that we just had has made it impossible for me to do it. But we will do a broadcast on this subject, and we will do it sometime soon. So please stay tuned for that. Right now, I've got to go into our surprise. Years ago, in fact, for over 25 years, I have studied, searched, looked for the enemy. Who is destroying this country? How is it happening that we're doing it from within? And every time I find somebody who is a part of it, they're American citizens. They're not Russians. They're not Cubans. They're not people from Africa or Europe or anywhere else. And I discovered that they belong to these secret organizations, secret societies, the Brotherhood, they call themselves. There are many different secret societies under many different names. And I did a long series called the Mystery Babylon series. Tonight you're going to hear the precursor, sort of the warm-up tape, to the Mystery Babylon series. It's called The Dawn of Man, D-A-W-N, The Dawn of Man, and originally aired on February the 11th, 1993. And if you listen closely, you'll see that I have greatly perfected my radio persona since then. I had only been broadcasting for less than a year at the time that I began this series. So pay close attention, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what many of you have been asking for, and it will set the stage for some other nights that are to come. First saw the movie 2001, I was amazed, awed to say the least. The entire scope of the movie was overpowering, and for most of the people of the world was completely baffling. Most people who saw that movie did not understand from beginning to end what it was that they had experienced, but they knew, everyone who saw it, knew that they had experienced something profound. That something had been communicated to the dark, deep recesses of their mind, which they did not understand. And indeed, which they were incapable of understanding. For you see, the movie was not meant for the profane, as most of us are called, by the adepts or the initiates or the priests of the mystery schools. For that movie was a message to those initiates who were well versed in the symbology and the mystery religion, of an ancient religion that is practiced to this day in secret. Now I'm going to tell you the meaning of the symbology that you saw in the movie 2001, and then each and every listener should go to their local video rental store and watch the movie again from beginning to end. For it is the story of the entire human race according to the history of the mystery religion of ancient Babylon, Now, I can assure you that you will not understand any of what you are going to hear without ample preparation and without a basic understanding in the symbology of the ancient religion. And you're going to get that, and this is going to be a series of programs that will, in fact, take probably many hours to complete. But let me just go over the symbology of the movie 2001 quickly with you, and then we will go back to the very beginning, to the first primitive human, probably sitting on his haunches, munching upon some vegetable, watching the sunrise in the east. In the beginning of the movie 2001, most people who sat in the theater were struck by the imagery which was presented to them, as they saw first a dark and gray and ugly world. And as that world began to move down from the center of the screen, they saw behind it a moon. And as the moon began to come down with the world that was sinking to the lower part of the screen, behind it you saw the emergence of the sun. What you were witnessing was an eclipse of the sun, partial eclipse. And as the light from the sun spilled across the edge of the moon, it took the shape of the boat of Isis. And the sun, of course, for anyone who has studied the Osirian cycle, became Osiris. And the symbology was Osiris riding across the heavens upon the boat of Isis. Now, this will all have much deeper meaning to you as we progress toward your education in the ancient mystery schools, which are today known by many different names, and we will get to some of those names as we go along. This signified, of course, the creation of the universe and of the world. And what we saw next was a barren plain, nothing growing, barren rocks, barren desert. And then we saw the sun begin to rise in the east over the horizon, signifying the birth of the world. As the sun traveled across the heavens, you saw the wind begin to move across the face of the earth, signifying that something was happening. Then as the sun began to reach its zenith on a prime longitude, we began to see shrubs, small green plants began to emerge. Now the sun traveling across the heavens did not, of course, signify a day. It signified an age, dear listeners. As the sun sank deeper into the afternoon, we saw the emergence of animal life, birds. We could hear the birds singing, and we could see the animals. And then we could see primitive man in the form of an ape mingling amongst the animals, neither harming the other, living in a state of innocence. And you saw a man only eating plants and roots. And you saw that even when the animals and man were in competition for food, no one was injured or hurt, but there was a display of waving of arms and yelling and grunting. until one or the other moved away. The significance of this was the age of innocence, when man lived in the Garden of Eden, innocent, with the animals. He was a vegetarian. And as the sun progressed farther toward the west, we saw man begin to retreat into the womb. For you see, the passage of the sun across the sky from the time that it rose in the east, signifying the birth of the world, we saw that as it reached its zenith, its most powerful aspect in the heavens, life began to emerge, first in the form of plants, and then animal life. And that the animals and early man lived in harmony together in a state of innocence. This was the symbology of the movie. During this process, you saw a rock formation in the shape of the male organ, the penis. This was the symbol of the mystery schools of the generative force of creation. When you watch the movie again, pay attention to the symbology of the movie. Now, as the sun begins to sink even farther in the west, man and his little tribe goes to the water hole and confronts another group of primitive man, all in the form of the ape. And there's a confrontation. But you notice that no one was injured or killed. There was a lot of waving of arms, jumping up and down, grunting, screaming, and screeching, until the group that was at the watering hole and had already quenched their thirst moved away. And then the new group moved in. And then they scurried into the womb, signified by the cave. And there was more symbology there, as they all sat in the darkness with their eyes open in fear. And one of the female apes held a child to her breast. And you were seeing man in the transformation from ape to human. Primitive man evolving to the point where he could think. And then what happened in the movie, toward the dawn, you heard the humming of bees, millions of bees. And the beehive and bees were a prominent symbol in the mystery schools. It signifies societal cohesion. Industry. Now, not industry as you may know it in the manufacture of cars, but industry in working together in a societal form. In this case, the very basic rudiments of society. And as the sun again began to rise up in the east, signifying the dawn of the new man, the audience beheld an obelisk, a monolith. In front of the cave, or the womb, from which the apes emerged, and it appeared that the humming of the bees was emanating from this block of stone. Now notice I said three words, monolith, obelisk, and stone. All of these are significant symbols in the ancient mystery religions. And you saw that this was not God, because creation had already taken place. The world had been created. Plants and animals had been created, and primitive man existed on the earth before
this monolith, this obelisk, this stone ever made its appearance. It is also known as the stone that you saw earlier, the generative force or the penis. Now don't get all confused by this terminology. It will begin to make sense to you as we go along. It took me many years of study to understand what I am now imparting to you. You watched as the apes milled about in great excitement. And one, encouraged by another, signifying Adam and Eve. The one encouraging was the symbol of Eve. The one being encouraged was Adam. Until he actually reached out and touched the face of the stone. And he was imparted intellect. You could tell that something significant had happened because the tone and the general volume of music changed at that point. And then the other apes began to touch and rub the statue. Now, most people that I knew attributed what happened to some extraterrestrial force. And they were receiving the exoteric interpretation, or that which is meant for the profane, those who are not illumined and cannot understand what it is they are seeing. But for the initiated, what they witnessed was the creation of the world by God, and the impartation of knowledge to man, the forbidden knowledge, by Lucifer through his agent Satan. For in the religion of the mystery schools, they believed that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust and vindictive God, and that man was not told by this unjust and vindictive God that he could have the same powers. And man was set free from the bonds of ignorance by Lucifer through his agent Satan, and many believe that the two are the same, and that's okay because maybe they are. And that through the gift of intellect, man himself will become God. Now, for those of you who understand what I am imparting to you now, you may not even have to listen any farther, for it explains everything that has ever happened in the history of man, and everything that is happening now, and all that is to happen in the future. As it progressed, you saw the first primitive man form the first original thought with the use of the gift of intellect when he squatted in the dust and picked up a bone and flopped the bone over and saw it hit a rib, and the rib flew up into the air, and he looked at it, and he flopped it over to the other side and hit another piece of rib bone and flew up into the air, and you could see the wheels turning in the mind of this primitive individual. As he lifted the thigh bone and then struck down in front of him and watched bones fly. And then he struck again and again, and then he crushed the skull of the dead animal that was lying in front of him. And you notice that the portrayal of this was absolutely accurate, because the next thing that happened was that this new gift, this intellect, and this original thought led to the murder of another primitive human being. In this case, of the tribe that had not been given the gift of intellect, did not have the ability to use a bone as a weapon because they had not made the connection. And you watched in the symbology of that movie the murder of Abel by his brother Cain. And you watched as he threw the bone up into the air, and the progression of the use of the gift of intellect led you to a space station spinning around the earth. And then the story began of man's journey toward illumination. And everything in that movie was a symbol for something else. Now the audience sitting, who are what the adepts or the initiates call profane, did not understand what they saw. They thought that it was really about a journey into space by an astronaut or a group of astronauts and the bad things that happened to some of them, and one survived. And none of them understood the significance of the obelisks, the monoliths, one on the moon, one in orbit around Jupiter. And the ultimate transformation of the astronaut into a giant fetus floating in space. And to tell you the truth, when I first saw the movie, I didn't really understand it either, but I knew that there was something of such import there that I needed to know, that I never stopped studying until I found out. And of course, one discovery leads to another. And every time I answered a question, 100 more popped up until I reached a point, dear listeners, where I realized that if I studied for the entire rest of my life, there is not enough time in my life to learn what it is that I need to know. But I have learned enough along the way to impart some of my knowledge to you. And maybe you can help me find the ultimate truth that all of us, ultimately learn to look for. Although not all of us ever realize that we are looking, and most of us never even understand what it is that we are looking for, but some of us do understand that we are looking. The adepts or the initiates, the priesthood of the mystery school, believe that they have found it and that they know all of these things. And I'm not really sure that they do. Because in my search and my ultimate illumination, and yes, I have become, to a degree, illumined or illuminated, I have discovered that I am more illuminated than most of those who have gone through the process of initiation in the mystery schools and believe that they know more than I do. And it's not true. I have surpassed them by so far. And they believe that they are so far ahead. But it has become difficult for me to place myself in any kind of logical progression along a path that I am following, and I know not where it will ultimately lead. But I know that many have been misled along this path and are worshiping the fallen angel that we know as Lucifer. Many believe that Lucifer and Satan are the same. Many people believe that they are totally different entities and that Satan is evil and Lucifer is not. But Lucifer rebelled against God, according to the Bible, and was expelled from heaven and flung to the earth to be the master of the material world, the master of the earth. Now, if Lucifer is indeed Satan, how this transformation took place, I am not wise enough to know. If they are different, then I have not yet discovered where Satan came from, if Lucifer is not Satan. Now, there are people who have professed to know the answers to these questions and have sat down and we've talked for hours. And I still am not sure that they are right or that they are wrong. And I'm still looking for the answer to that question. But I do know this. Ancient man witnessed something that he described in his oral history and in his writings. And it could probably be called the first UFO sighting in the history of the world. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning star? Now notice, Lucifer was called the son of the morning star. He was also called the morning star. And there is a great mystery here, because Christ also called himself the morning star. He was also called, and that correctly should have read, son of the morning. Now, how all that fits together, I do not know, but I have been told by those who have been initiated in the mystery schools that Christ and Lucifer are one and the same being. However, I cannot bring myself to believe that. What you believe, of course, is your own business and is not my intention to make you believe anything, but rather to impart to you what I have learned over many, many years of study into the secrets of those who worship the ancient mystery religions in secret for thousands of years. For you see, that monkey who sat there squatting on his haunches in the desert, striking the earth and the pile of bones with this great thigh bone, was the first priest of the mystery schools. And it was this first priest who then began to initiate others into the secrets. And they are the ones who have been responsible, according to my research, for most of the scientific developments and the forward movement as far as material progress goes of the human race. For they were the learners. They were the ones who developed science. They were the ones who hid their developments and used their science and their knowledge and their secrets to govern others. Usually not as kings, but as advisors and as priests. And in all actuality, the powers behind the thrones in ancient times and even today. They have ruled from the shadows, you see. And they call themselves the guardians of the secrets of the ages. And their first religion was called astrotheology, or the worship of the heavens, and their first object of worship was the sun. The second object of worship was the moon. And everywhere you see the mystery schools or the mystery religion, you will see the symbols of the sun and the moon, also known as Osiris and Isis. And the child Horus, which I will explain the meaning of later. Right now, folks, we must take a break. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this very short pause. Intellect set him upon a quest that, according to those who say that they know, has never ended even unto this day. And the modern day equivalent of this ancient mystery religion calls itself the Order of the Quest. And you will see it reflected in many of their outward exoteric branches, where they disseminate information to the public, or manipulate the public, or deceive the public, as the profane to them are nothing more than cattle to be herded and occasionally to be led to the slaughter. In the movie 2001, the quest led them ultimately into space and to the moon, where they were further imparted knowledge by Lucifer, again, in the form of the obelisk, the monolith, the stone, the penis. And you will understand what that means later when we get into the Osirian cycle, or the legend of Isis, Osiris, and the child Horus. When they were imparted knowledge again on the moon, it set them off on a further quest to the planet Jupiter. where they found a huge, tremendous, again, another obelisk, monolith, stone, the generative force, the penis, floating in space, orbiting the planet Jupiter. Now, the journey from the moon to Jupiter is significant. For the astronauts on board this spaceship represented the entirety of the human race. And it represented that some will evolve, and those who cannot will not be allowed into the future. You see, this was a message from those who rule to all of the initiates of the world. It was a message that the new age is now dawning. And you see that at one point during this journey from the moon to Jupiter, man represented on a microcosm by the astronauts making this voyage came in conflict with their own technology. The technology of the human race was represented by the computer called HAL. And for those who were intelligent enough to experiment with the name HAL and progressed the letters one forward in the alphabet from what they were in the movie, H became I, A became B, and L became M, and they were able to see that the symbol was of the largest at that time when the movie was made, and the corporation that was on the cutting edge of computer technology, IBM. It was significant that man had built this technology, this computer, which had an artificial intelligence and was capable of communicating with the astronauts. And yet they had forgotten to put a switch in the machine which could be turned off at will. Now, you have to understand that this is all symbology. HAL represented many things. He represented the atomic bomb, the hydrogen bomb, chemical warfare, bacteriological warfare, represented the state of the art of technology where it became so complicated that no one man could be an expert in it, and thus might unknowingly participate in the building of a technology which could destroy him, yet he only worked on a part or a portion of it, the knowledge of which did not indicate to him that the end product could be a danger. And we see that happening now, don't we? Where everybody has to specialize in one small portion of technology because the overall picture is so complicated and so far beyond our understanding that we see the prediction made in the movie 2001 actually becoming true before our very eyes. Just in my lifetime, I've seen automobiles that I could take apart and put together blindfolded myself as a teenager, to driving automobiles that I can lift the hood and not even recognize most of what I'm looking at, except that I know that it's an engine in there, and I know that it's got a fuel delivery system and some kind of a system that ignites the fuel, but the technology has surpassed my ability to take it apart and put it back together again without many months or years of specialized training. And this has occurred across the board in our technology. And as I've told you before, I will tell you again tonight, dear listeners, in secret, whatever you perceive as the state of technology in the public eye, the very cutting edge, in secret, they are a minimum of 50 to 100 years ahead, to the point where science fiction is no longer fiction and hasn't been for quite some time, but is in all actuality science fact. You saw this battle play itself out on board the spaceship, where ultimately there was only one astronaut left fighting the battle against Hal. And he was able to make this jump in his evolutionary consciousness, and he was able to fool Hal and turn off the computer. But when he did so, he knew that he had relegated himself to permanent separation from his fellow human beings back on Earth. And folks, the message was not that he went into space to effect this separation. Space was just the vehicle through which it was conveyed in the movie. The message was that the new man will go into the future and the rest of us will perish. We will not be allowed into the future. If we are, it will be as slave labor until we are no longer useful, and then we will simply be exterminated. The message to the vast army of initiates in the mystery school was, we are on the threshold of the new age, and into this new age will march only one man. It is the new man. It is the illumined man. It is the man that is able to make the evolutionary jump to no more war, to no more rape, no more pillage. To the level in the mystery school known as 666. It is the number of a man. It is the illumined man to the mystery schools. To those of us who are Christians, it is the symbol, the mark of the beast, the indication that the Antichrist has arrived, and the beginning of the time predicted in the book of Revelation known as the Tribulation. Now, all of this that I thought I knew so well and understood has become even more mysterious to me now, as I know that I am battling against something that is almost incomprehensible, and I have had to do it alone, by myself, not trusting anyone else, not letting them in, for fear that they would corrupt my mind and I would be led down the wrong path. And I still do not know the answers, but I have an awful lot of clues and a lot of facts, and I've learned an awful lot. And maybe I am more confused than I ever was in my entire life. But after you hear the results of what I've learned, and after I am, for the first time since I've learned all of this, communicate it to other human beings and let you know how really confused I am, maybe all of us being confused together can put the pieces in their places and patch this mystery together and come up with what we need as answers to formulate a future that we can all enjoy, without fear, without wars, without lies and deception and manipulation, without elitists and terrorists and crooks and liars. For I'm going to impart to you during all of this that the priests of the ancient mystery religion are the ones who have caused most of the misery in the history of man. And if they had not learned this knowledge, the secrets of the ages that they keep from the rest of us and use to manipulate us, maybe we would have reached peace in this world hundreds of years ago. I don't really know the answer to that. But I don't think much of what has happened in the history of the world that was miserable, terrible, would have happened without these people. But I may be wrong. And as always, when you listen to the show, don't believe a word you hear unless you could substantiate it in your own research. At the end of the movie, what you saw as the astronaut became older and aged, and this was the symbol of gaining knowledge and wisdom. And he looked at himself, and he saw himself younger, and he looked back and saw himself older, and he looked back, and he was older still, and he looked back, and he was young again, and then old. And then he saw this unbelievably overpowering, stunning vision of a fetus, a human fetus, floating in the great vastness of the universe, signifying the birth of the new age and the new man that will go into the future. And in the sequel to 2001, you saw that this astronaut who had made the jump came back and talked to some select few, signifying that he had then become a teacher to the rest of us. And when he was asked what happened to him, he said, and I quote, "Something wonderful," unquote. Now that was supposed to tell the rest of the initiates of the world who really understood the symbology of the movie that if they were able to make this transition, the future would be a utopia. Now, I don't know whether it will be or not, but I can tell you this. The priests of the ancient mystery religions are in charge right now, and we had better damn well find out. And we had better do it very quickly. For the new age is the age of Aquarius, and the exact date of the dawning of the age of Aquarius can be determined astrologically. And I'm not going to tell you what that date is, although I have it right here on a piece of paper in front of me. I want you all to help in this search. God knows I need help. I can't save us all alone. And there's always the possibility, because I am human, that I could make the wrong decision or make the wrong interpretation. And that's why I formed CAGI, because many of us working together and digging and searching for information are much more likely not to make the mistakes than one man working alone. Let's go back now to the beginning. When man was in his infancy on the evolutionary scale of development, man was alone. Alone in the sense that he did not have all of the help and the knowledge that we have today that enables us to survive. You see, man then was subject to the cold, to the wild beasts of prey. He didn't have a home, didn't have air conditioning in the summer, didn't have heating in the winter, didn't have medical doctors. If he became ill or injured, he was most likely to die. So it did not take ancient man very long to decide that in this world the single greatest enemy to be feared was the darkness of night and all the unknown dangers that came with it. And simply stated, man's first enemy was darkness. Now, understanding this one fact alone, one can readily see why the greatest and most trustworthy friend the human race could ever have at that time was, by far, heaven's greatest gift to the world, that glorious rising orb of day that we call the sun. And that was the beginning of the battle between light and darkness. And it was man's first understanding of the birth, the death, and the rebirth of a deity. For the sun rose, was born in the morning, traveled across the heavens, where it reached its most powerful point, the zenith, and that will explain why so many things occur at noon or near noon, and then signifying old age and the end of its life, sank into the west and then died. And man was subjected to the rigors, the dangers, the cold of night, until his God again was reborn the next morning. Now, folks, I'm not making any of this up, and it took me many, many years of study to figure this out. Man noticed that the moon also rose, lived a different life than the sun, and then set and died and was reborn again. The sun, because of its brilliance, became the master or the greatest deity. And the moon took on the feminine aspect because the moon reflected the light of her master. And all of this will begin to make sense to you eventually as we go through this, because from now on, every program that I do is going to be devoted to this, to the explanation of the esoteric religion, the ancient mystery religion. And it's important that we all understand it, because these are the people in charge. And don't ask me to tell you the truth of religion, for I really believe in the Constitution and that we all have a right to worship our own God in our own way. And no one has the right to tell anyone, unless asked, what they should believe. You all know by now that I am a Christian. But I'm not a Christian in the sense that I follow the dogma of any church or the preachings of any preacher are necessarily word for word the Bible. I stick strictly and only to those words that are directly attributed to Jesus Christ, and I attempt to follow those words in my daily life. And it doesn't matter to me whether anyone proves that he never lived or that he lived or not. I have found that those are the most profound teachings amongst all of the books and teachings that I have ever heard or read in my entire life. And until someone can prove to me that there is something better, that is what I will always adhere to. I do not advise you what you should believe or not believe. But I do advise you that we all need to learn as much as we can about everything that we can, because one thing I have learned in my life is that most of what we have ever been taught has been a lie. And that whoever these people are, and I know who they are, and I will impart that knowledge to you, who are the priests, the adepts, and the initiates in the mystery schools, they are in control, and they are shaping the future, and that future will affect all of us, so we had better learn as much about them as we can. You cannot identify an enemy unless you know the enemy, and you cannot fight a battle if you know nothing about the battle tactics of your opponent. And when you understand that Lucifer is the sun of the morning star, or the morning star itself, then the creations of the members of the mystery school begin to make much more sense. Good night, and God bless you all.